Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process, page 25. The Varnashram institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life, in other words, realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for indriya priti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of the Varnashram is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current. But the saner section of the people know well that the divisions of caste and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high thinking self-realization, not for any other purpose. So the whole point is Varnashram is not just a system. When we say that, okay, we're Hindus, right? You know, people say we're Hindus, and Hindus need to follow the Vedic structure. Actually, we're not. We're Varnashramites. By religion, we're Varnashram. Hindu is just, it was made up. It was just used by the Muslims, that anybody the other side of the Sindh River or the Sindhu River, and at least, I don't know, farther down, I don't know about up north, but the H sound is a guttural, ha. So then, Sindhu, or these kind of things, comes out Hindu. It's just, that's how it is. So they're the Hindus. And then from that you drop the guttural, so you have Hindus. But it's not mentioned in the Vedas anywhere. It's Varnashram. That's why you see the Bhagavatam mentions Varnashram. Other things are mentioned sometimes, but Varnashram is always the core, because all the other forms of religion can be have their place within Varnashram. That's the whole thing. It's like a structure that you can hang all these things on, because all the religious processes are for elevating yourself. And so since Varnashram is meant for elevation of the consciousness, then that means all the austerity, charity, penances, study of the Veda, teaching, all these different things, whatever may be there, sacrifice, all these things, they all fit within the system. And especially within the ashram side, that has all the spiritual things. And then the other side, it means you also have charity on the varna side, because you're taking care of people who don't necessarily have things and this and that, and you know, that not trying. So the point is it's not about a social hierarchy that is for the purpose of who's in control and who's got the money. It's how people can interact so they can actually very nicely elevate themselves. That's the whole purpose. It doesn't actually have another purpose. It could be misused, just like anything could be misused. Is that you can misuse it to bring about, you know, social prestige and these things, but that's not what it's for. You know, because people will do that. So you either do it within, you use the Vedic system and properly for spiritual realization and proper social interaction, or you can misuse it for control and enjoying. Or you can say, I'm not interested in it. You'll still have the same kind of divisions. Not very scientific. You know, the Vaishyas running hospitals. You know, stuff like that. It's not scientific. You know. So, it's not a business. It's for the benefit of the people, and then doctors get taken care of, right? You know, they're nicely taken care of, but it's about benefiting others. It's not about money. So, but and then again, they get distracted, and it's about position and prestige. You know, those things will come up. So he's pointing out, no, it's for self-realization. That's the whole thing. So that's the point of the perfection of Dharma is for pleasing the Lord. That's the whole thing. So that structure, all other aspects of Dharma fit into. Right? Means of this Dharma. And then that, all that can support Sad-Dharma, or transcendental knowledge, and transcendental devotion. That makes sense. Yes?
But we used to question about this word Yogi and Hindu. Because Muslims usually use the letter as C. Because they, for example, they very often meet and say Salam Aleikum. It's like Shalom.
Okay, instead of Shalom, they say Salam. I don't know. It could be a particular pronunciation of those in that area. Maybe it's the way the Afghans say it or something. But it came up from that, because otherwise there is no Hindus. They wouldn't call themselves Hindus, because even in that area, they would have considered themselves part of the Saraswat culture. Like they're even today called, you know, Saraswat Brahmins or Gaur Saraswat Brahmins. I mean, Saraswat Brahmins, if it's just they went from that area and then came down into other parts of India. But if they came from that and came down to Bengal, and then, you know, either stayed here or went to other, they're called Gaur Saraswat. So the Saraswat is the culture that's there. So where this would come from, it came from who it is. Whose accent it is, I don't know. I just know that, you know, in some areas they have that kind of pronunciation. You know, it's just like in English, there's, I think in England, even though everybody's speaking English of some variety, there's like 200 dialects, and some of you cannot understand. I mean, I've heard someone just talks in the local, you know, language to a friend. You can't get any word they say. Nothing makes sense. It's not even to get an and, if, or but out of it. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. So there's going to be some pronunciation somewhere, and from that it's stuck. And then maybe, like you said, others that may be able to pronounce the H, S, but somehow or another that got mentioned like that, and so then. Does that make sense? You know, because I think the Islam was started like 700 AD, no?
Mm-hmm.
630. 600? 630. Okay, so 630. Oh, so it's 7th century. No? That's the other way around, right? That would be 600 would be 5th century. Isn't it? Because it's always one ahead. It's ahead, right?
The first century is from 0 to 100.
Yes, okay, so it's ahead. So that means 5th century. Yeah, so then from that time, then Islam was there, but they didn't actually come in and control the place until Babar. So I think that was like around 1100 or 1000. So there's a few hundred years. So somewhere in there the name came up. That just seems to be from what I understand. That's what Prabhupada mentioned. So there must be something there. You know? Okay. So we see here is that when we have religion and we have eternal religion. So eternal religion is going to be devotional service. That's going to engage secondary aspects, right? Whether it's something means here the secondary aspects means the external aspects. You know, the gross and subtle bodies. You know, the body, mind, and words that are made of material elements. On the spiritual world, then they're all non-different. So you don't have to make the distinction between primary and secondary. You don't say Mother Jashoda's devotion is the primary, her cooking for Krishna is secondary. And to express it, they're one, because it's all for Krishna. Here, then the distinction is made because we will tend to see the religion for our benefit, but we also are willing to look at it in connection with the Lord, so then we will give the results to Krishna. Right? But if it's all being done just for Krishna's pleasure, then technically it becomes all spiritual, so you don't have to distinguish the primary and secondary. You know, it's just like karma yoga. If it's being done fully for Krishna, then it means bhakti. You know, our jnana yoga is being done fully for Krishna, it means bhakti. But if there's some anomaly there that you want to point out to see that the weakness that is not getting in the way of the devotional development, then it's called karma misra bhakti or jnana misra bhakti. You know, or more extreme than bhakti misra karma. You know, or bhakti misra jnana. Does that make sense? So then the varnashram itself is the form that in the spiritual world they use. That's just the culture there. You know, there's no question that's not what's going on. It means that's the whole thing. They're Vaishyas, they go and pay tax in Mathura to the Kshatriyas. You know, then Madhu Mangal is giving blessings and that to and instruction to these. He's a kid. Right? Basically, he's a Vatu. You know, he's not famous for having studied all the Vedas and he's great. But the adults, you know, those who are, you know, on the level of Mother Jashoda, they're asking questions to him and advice. You know, Arjuna Vasamuni comes, he's giving blessings, everyone's going to serve, and things like that. So it just gives an opportunity for expression of service through so many varieties of tastes. You know, because these tastes are there, and combinations, therefore the system is there. And so then, here, so there is integral. It means you have a particular rati for Krishna, that means there's certain aspects of how you see Krishna as the Vishaya, you know, as the enjoyer, and his qualities, and what is the Udipan. Right? So that will make then where you're situated. You know? And so all those aspects will be there. And so then, in the material world, it's a reflection, so it's here, but here, it's because what you're dealing with in the Varnashram is all external. You know, as Lord Chaitanya said, that's external. So then, those being engaged in Krishna's service, that's the perfection of religion. But that's only when it's engaged in Sad-Dharma, then the Dharma takes on those qualities, like iron and fire. So, make sense, or are we? It's like, you know, we're sitting there thinking, he's been talking about this for the last 3 weeks, and he just move on. Where is it? Yeah, no.
Asking Maharaj, you know, this when we have heard, let me summon some talk. As Krishna explains in detail, Manushya Nansakasa show, it's always small quantity of persons are on top for the market.
Yes, yes.
So in the same way...
I mean, that's there, but it's not about the prestige of being on top. It's that you're able to be on top. Just we turned it up to 3 because they were at it right.
But also those who are on top in the national, they don't enjoy material facilities usually, and the Brahmins.
They don't, but so a Kshatriya, as you see, they have it. It works for their service. It means it's just like, let's say, okay, we're going to do something. Right? Let's say you're having a big corporate meeting. All the suits are sitting around, right? You know, the fancy table, the fancy chairs and everything like that. And then, you know, and it's time for the meeting. They're waiting for, you know, the new guy who's going to be, you know, chairing the whole thing. And the guy, you know, walks in, you know, not properly shaved, you know, hasn't combed his hair, you know, like that. He's got, you know, some old, you know, shorts or something that got, you know, they're worn out. I don't mean that, you know, they were stone washed and all that. I mean, they're just worn out, you know, comes in with two different kinds of flip-flops because, you know, one's from one pair of shoes, one's from the other, and that, you know, and he has a little cloth bag that he has some papers in, he gets them all out, and he sits down. Are these suits going to be impressed? No, it's that they're all sitting there in the Rasachi suit, but he walks in and his is made in Sabla robe. You know, so therefore, you know, okay, this guy's good. You know? Like that. I mean, one businessman told me that. He said, I said, oh, but, you know, says, you know, you're driving around in this city and there's no place to park. Why do you need this big car? He says, no, I only have the big car for business stuff. For when I go out with the family, we take this little dinky thing. Because it'll get through traffic, you can park, and that is enough for us to get in. So you don't need, you know, to stretch out. And so he says, because if you go to a business meeting and you show up in this little thing, they'll think, oh, this guy's not successful. You show up in a big fancy car, then they go, okay, this guy knows his stuff. So therefore, the kings have to present that they have all that. But you see, before that, they're in the Gurukul with nothing like everybody else. And when they take Vanaprastha, they go with nothing. They take nothing. They bring the clothes from the forest. It's deer skins and tree bark. They put that on. Then they leave. They don't take the, like you see, Purikit Maharaj, it's mentioned right now, Bhagavatam. He took off everything there. Then he went. You know, like nowadays, it's, you're going, but you know, I've used this computer, you know, and that goes with you, and what about this, and what about that, and, you know, the other, it was up to them, they just take everything with them. You know? So, but the thing is, no, Kshatriyas, they use all that, but they can walk away from all that. So you find those that can't, those natures isn't as strong. The knowledge and renunciation isn't strong. So the Kshatriyas, it's very strong because of passion. There's also, they can work in that area, and it's about the, because if they don't have, if what they say doesn't come to pass, if they let others insult them and get away with it, then where's the authority? Where's the security? So it's just part of what people expect. You know, but it shouldn't be ostentatious. Like you see, the queen, you know, before, how she would dress. It wasn't ostentatious, but I can guarantee you everything was very perfect and exact, and also it wasn't cheap. But it didn't look, she didn't have a big brand name across, you know, her chest or on her hat or on her bag. You know, she had high class stuff that probably no one could afford. But it fits in nicely. You know, she's dignified, it looks nice, she doesn't wear too much, you know. She has the one string of pearls around her neck, it looks good. You know, not like the guys with gold stars in their teeth and wearing three gold chains and everything else. And no, he says, you know, can you go, oh, he's got money because he's got gold chains. No, she's got money because she's dignified. You know. So that would be the thing, is that it would be dignified, but it means no one else can do it. But at the same time, it's tasteful. It's not in your face. You know? And there's that kindness, there's those things like that. And it's done because they care. You know what I'm saying? The king comes out, sees the people, interacts with the people because he cares for the people, not because he's looking for votes. Because if you can get votes without contacting people, without doing anything, guaranteed politicians would never leave their house. They would be, you know, at the, what is it, beach, at, you know, what is it, at the Keys or in Honolulu or, you know, wherever they would want to go.
The Hamptons, yeah.
They just wouldn't bother. You know, they'd be playing golf and doing whatever they're doing and just let the votes roll in. So, but the kings, you go out, like you see, when Prithu Maharaj comes in from, you know, where they churn Vayner's body, when he comes into the city, he greets everybody according to their position in that, and everybody's satisfied. That's a Kshatriya. That's not a politician. They know politics. It's diplomacy, but they're not politicians. Duryodhana is a politician. Yudhishthira is not a politician. You know, like that. So that's the standard, is that you can use it like Yudhishthira does, or you can use it like Duryodhana does. Duryodhana is fully for prestige and power. That's right. Yudhishthira was duty. So that's the bottom line there. Is that Varnashram is not meant for these things. So that's the problem. Why does it get thrown out or get ignored by devotees? Because they analyze it by prestige. You know, I have a job, that means a Shudra. I don't want to be a Shudra because I'm a devotee, right? I chant Hare Krishna, I don't care for the rules, so therefore, you know, a devotee's the highest, therefore I have to be the highest. So it's prestige. And so therefore, no one wants to be the Shudra. Because they don't have problems talking about the other three. You know, before it was just about Brahmins. Everyone's a Brahmin, who's a Kshatriya? You know, like that. Then it was about, okay, the control, then the Kshatriya thing. And then, yeah, the Brahmins are there, they'll give us a... Like that. Then it's about, well, what about the money? Without money, then, you know, so then it was about that. So then you have to have this... So it's this bourgeois thing, where I have all the money, I control everything, and whatever I say is sakshatadi. You know? So, you know, that's the... Right? Because they all come up with their philosophies and all that. No? You see it, these, when they get really on the top, some of these big billionaires, really, they start, they have in their philosophy. You know?
Even religion.
Yeah, yeah. Just this whole thing. Just like, so they want all three. They want to control the governments, they want to have all the money, and whatever they say is, you know, what the opium of the public. You know? So, but Varnashram's not about that. And so if it was looked at from just how to engage your nature, which Prabhupada gave, and people still follow on some aspects unknowingly. But the thing is in the social field, in the Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, that area, everyone wants to be in charge. No one wants any hierarchy. But before, you don't care about it. Hierarchy is natural. You have to have a hierarchy. Otherwise, how do things work? No, we're going to have a committee. That will make everything run. So there's more people on the committee than there are actually practically doing things in the temple. I'm not joking. 30-man committee running the temple, the bureau. There's a temple president. There's maybe a temple commander, a couple other, you know, how you say, either Bengali or Russian pujaris, like that, right? Is Russian or Bengali, right? Yeah, like that. Or it could be from Eastern Europe, like that, because they still have some culture, so they're willing to do these kind of things. And so then, you know, and then and that's it. So, I mean, if you added all the deities in, you know, Prabhupada and the Vyasa-san plus the temple devotees, then it still wouldn't be as many as the temple council.
And the temple council is usually just people who have a job.
Yeah, they have a job, or they have an opinion, or they've been around longer than anybody else, or of course there's always the Prabhupada disciple, you know, like this. Or
since they give their financial support, they feel that they should be able to call up shops.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's just like, you know, the boss gives money to you, you know, you work, so he should tell you how to live your life, right? Isn't it? Wouldn't that be the natural thing, is that, you know... He works down at whatever it is, you know, the place, and so they should control how his life works. I mean, it's just the natural conclusion. Otherwise, why are they coming to this conclusion? Oh, because it's only 8 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
Oh, seven.
Seven.
You're back at 8, okay. I was thinking, what? We've been blabbing already? So, you know, it's like,
mobile warning is extremely dangerous.
Okay. Global warming is so dangerous. You get so absorbed in producing hot air that you time just disappears. Yeah. So that's another thing. They're saying, you know, the hot air and all that then shrinks the ozone and all these. It also condenses time. You know, another factor that does. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, so my conclusion is that if you're too sensitive towards these topics, like you were explaining, the national issues, just it's viewed as a power structure.
But that's even better, power structure rather than just prestige.
That means you value these things very well. This is your value system. If you see this in the rational, then that means.
Yeah, it would be your value. So then it's the power, but at the same time, if it doesn't have the samskara of either protecting the people or giving in charity and all these different things like that. So, you know, or it's the intellectual, like you see one group intellectually wants to control. We did the research work, we made the paper, now everyone has to swallow it and digest it, whether it makes any sense or not, because we wrote it. You know, so it's like, we're the absolute. Then the other is because we came up with a policy, therefore it's the absolute. And the other one is, well, because, you know, we make the money, therefore we control everything. But interesting enough, is there any position given to the shudra position? I mean, as far as I see, nothing. At the same time as there's the claim to be modern and liberal.
Yeah.
But the more liberal you become, the more it has to go down towards the people. To say equality means the people. You know? No?
In theory.
Yeah, I'm saying in theory, but that's the point. It's just your excuse how to get control. You either use right-wing excuses or left-wing excuses, but the point is how to get that control, how to have the power. And so, because with power comes money and comes enjoyment. I mean, there's isn't there that old saying, with power comes great responsibility. Now it's, with power comes great authority and enjoyment and facility.
Funny, because both sides, it doesn't matter, they're really just trying to put the righteous in charge.
Yeah, both of them are trying to do that, but the one wants to be them, though they can't do it.
Yeah.
Means the one is, you know, get rid of the Vaishyas and we'll do it, because, you know, anybody can do it, and then they run out of money, you know, hence the go broke, go woke. I mean, go woke, go broke.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the others, then they'll do the money and oppress everybody else. So each one's going to do. So it's only when, if the left's in power, the right is talking more middle. And if the right's in power, the left will be talking more middle. But why not just talk the middle and forget the two? Because the point is it's about how to engage yourself. It's about individuals being engaged. So that's the whole point. Individuals are supposed to be engaged in Krishna's service. This is the way. Is it okay? Is it too much? Okay. So then... Yeah, so then that's the whole point. But if we take religion as simply power, you know, and money, power and economics, then it loses the meaning. Those get included within that. You know, it's just like, let us say you're eating your meal. Okay, so basically the meal is about whatever in front of you ends up in your mouth, and you can chew it up and swallow it. Right? So that's all you have to do. So people just sit down and eat, right? But if it's about controlling the implements, you know, you got the fork, and I've got control of this, and this is my plate. Don't anybody get any ideas here. It's like, who's got ideas? I got my own plate. What do I need your plate for? You know, how much can you eat? You know, and so like that, and you see how I hold it. This is the real way to hold it. You guys are all, you know, no showing power. You know, so I think you use the delicate little fingers like this. No, you grab it with all the whole hand. Now that's power. You know, like that. I mean, look at it. Power means who holds it like that, right? Little kids, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, they hold the spoon like that. But now, who has the control? The baby cries. All these adults are there. The baby laughs, all these adults are happy. You know, the baby sleeps, all these adults are relieved. You know, it's all about them. So the baby's in control. So therefore, you know, following the footsteps of those in control, I hold my spoon like this. And then you think, what's wrong with this guy? So the same way, Varnashram is just how to take what's your nature, what's your nature, what's your abilities, what's the character. What is the best place to study? It's already there. You just have to mix and match. You know, it's like that thing where you have the square hole and you have the square peg that goes in that hole and the round one goes there. You just look. What do I got? Okay, that goes here. You know? Does that make sense? And so then then it works very nicely. And that's all. And it's why do you want it to go so smoothly without all the politics and all the trips? Because you want to be able to focus on spiritual life. It's not that the politics are life, or the money is life, or the speculation is life, or the, you know, feeling, you know, the you know, how you say, expressing your emotions is life. It's about who you, it's about what is your conditioned nature, how you as the soul can engage in Krishna service, you know, to please the Lord. It's not just to engage in this service to get your benefits, it's to please the Lord. Because otherwise, you see, much of the time we see the religious system, because it's pious, you follow God's laws, is that they want to please God so they get the benefits from God that they want. I please God, I follow God's laws, God should be pleased, then I can go to heaven. Or then I'll become rich, or then I'll become, you know, whatever it is. No, it's I'm doing this to please God as a person for His pleasure. It's not about me. Right? Because that's the actual eternal position. Everything else is temporary. You go to heavenly planets, you'll be back. You know? Does that make sense? You know, that's why the trouble is. They go to the, you know, future, and they keep coming back. Right? You know, if they just stay in the future, there'd be no problem. Right?
So this helpful. No, I think somebody said that it comes back to this materialistic philosophy of the whole history of human races. Power struggles. People want to abuse one another. So yes. some people, they view Varnashram in the same way. It's just a tool for the more clever people, how they control the rest of society. So it's just one of these hierarchies in society, power,
yeah. Structure.
So some of us view Varnashram in the same way.
Yeah.
So I just realized, you know, because we have this sentence here, the first one you read about, the Varnashram institution being constructed to enable to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over the other. So generally the devotees, the reason why they say they don't want to follow Varnashram is because of, you know, they had the corrupt caste system, which was an abuse of that.
Mm-hmm.
But really the reason they don't want to accept it is because we want to implement the actual one, and they still want to abuse it. Because they still want to have that position of power.
Yeah, that abuse wants to be there. It's just that you put it in a way that it's, you know, all animals are equal, just some are more equal than others.
Right, yeah, the cats and dogs are way more equal than pigs and chickens.
Yeah, yeah, so like that. So it just comes out, that becomes the difference. Yeah, it's a very good point. Because you see is that, okay, let's say you use any of the other systems, right? And, you know, so always the one at the bottom of the food chain always gets the top end, you know? So therefore, the, you know, the serfs, you know, and all that, and just the common people, they're always having to pay taxes and this and that, but they're by the higher three orders, expect that they'll stay alive. Because if you don't have them, where does all the work and money come from? So they're part of the system, though. You know, you might have to check underneath your shoes, you know, to see, you know, stuck in the cracks of the soles, you know, where they are. But in any case, they're there. But now, let us look at when you have the system where the proletariat, the peoples, they get the power, they actually killed the others. When they got the power, the first thing they did was, you know, kill all the Vaishyas. No one knew how to farm. I mean, they basically starved to death. You know, they imported, even though they hated America, half of their wheat was imported from America. Well, they got more land than, you know, I don't know. I mean, how many, I mean, you could take all of Europe, probably all of America, and stick it inside Russia. You know? So you know, they could grow everything. That people came, I think some guys came here and did a study here in Bengal and the Ganga Basin. Mm-hmm. I think it also included the part of Bangladesh. But the Ganga Basin itself, it says it itself could produce all the food for the whole world. Mm-hmm. It's just so, you know, fertile. And so that's such a small area. And they're okay, they have less, but they have the Volga and so many other things, and so they could take care of themselves. You know? But they got rid of all of them. You know, and then any intellectual didn't like them, you know, what is it? You know, exactly, the famous one is the ice pick, I think. What is it? You know, one of the famous ones was killed by an ice pick. The Russian intellectuals, you know. And I think it was, I'm not sure how you say it, it's something like Sorbonne?
Okay.
Yeah. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
This is Sorbonne. Okay. So there, they're very liberal, you know, very leftist. And so Pol Pot, you know, the guy in Cambodia, Kampuchea now, then he went to school there, got trained there and learned all these left-wing ideals. He went back, killed 2 million people because they're against the system, right? And if you wore glasses, they'd kill you, because if you wore glasses meant you read, and if you read, that means you're an intellectual, and the intellectuals are the problem, so therefore they killed them all. You know, we're talking about a small country.
There's a strong strength in that chain of logic there.
Yeah, yeah, a strong chain of logic, yeah. And he got that from there. So that's the thing, is that the others at least are tolerant of the ones. They know that you have to have all four. Though each of the other one, three, are always trying to control who's the one leading it. You know? But when it gets in the hands of the fourth one, they try to get rid of the other three. I mean, just like you know, just how you say it? You know,
no person, no problem.
No, just, you know, genocide. Just wipe them out. You know, just kill everything.
And then the other great thing about the Varnashram system is that the ones that are on top are the ones that actually don't want to control it. They just give the truth and
yeah.
detach from it.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, the qualification to be in control is that you don't want it.
Yeah, you don't want it. Even want it, you don't need it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because here it comes, okay, I may not want, but I need. No, you don't need it.
Right.
Therefore, you don't want it. So it's even a more subtle. You catch?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you don't need material enjoyment, therefore naturally you won't want it.
Right.
If you okay, you want it, but then you're controlling it. That's less, but it's better than, you know, not controlling it. So you see, as the Brahmins never try to control the whole thing. Kshatriyas, for a quarter of their life, they'll control the whole thing, and then they'll retire.
Right.
The Vaishyas, then generally, they'll just, you know, as much as possible, try to maintain the position, the power. Even their Vanaprasthas, they still control the family business. You know, son does all the work, but they'll be there keeping an eye, as long as it's going in the right direction. He, you know, he smiles and, you know, plays with his Gita, you know, and his beads, but as soon as something goes wrong, he's right there telling him how to do it. You know, so like that, but they control less. They don't have the ability to control the whole thing. So when they try to control the whole thing, see, the Kshatriyas, it's about the characters going on, cultures, the religions going on, their duties are going on. Brahmins, you know, it's about, you know, that and to see the God consciousness very directly. Kshatriyas also should be doing that, but even if they don't, if the Brahmins are, the Kshatriyas are supporting, it'll still work. But Vaishyas, like that, you see, when they get in control, first thing to go is tradition, because tradition means restriction. Restriction means, you know, less volume, the money is not flowing. It means that you bought this, one pair of shoes. You don't need a second pair of shoes. But you have to break down that. You need 20 pairs of shoes, 30. I remember my father had 30 pairs of shoes. And basically, they were all the same. It wasn't like 30 different varieties. No, they were the same shoe. You know, I mean, he must have known what the difference was. You know, this one had this insole, that one had that, this one had this polish or that. I didn't know. It's just, you look in the closet, on the floor, it's just packed. You know, what's the point? Unless they were just old and because they, you know, you liked them so you couldn't get rid of them. So actually, you only used two or three pairs of shoes and the other ones were just left over. I don't know. But point is that it's just, they just try to make it that you'll unlimitedly buy. And so to do that, before it was, you got quality goods, you got it, okay, try to get it, okay, you bought it, your son should buy it. So you have to break down the joint family. You know, and then, okay, they're buying it, but how do we make more money? Well, what would make it so that it doesn't last as long? You know, or make something else, an alternative. and then make a competition like that, and then reduce the quality. So it's great. Like you have these phones that, you know, before you had a phone in your house. I don't know. Do you remember the little dial phones? And there's a good chance that it was, you know, if it was the same house, it was your grandfather, you know, installed the phone. Like that. And so then your father, you're using it, and it'll go on. It could go generations. But now you get these high-tech phones that have more power in that than the original NASA moon flight. You know, if you took everything in NASA, they're all sitting behind their computers at what is it, Houston? Yeah. And, you know, what was in the you know, what was on the ship, it wouldn't equal what's in one smartphone today. You know, and so, but, and they can use that for years, and that, but this is after 2 years, you got to get a new one. I mean, ideally it's after 6 months, but since they charge such a ridiculous amount of price, then okay, they'll leave that to the few people. But otherwise, every 2 years, you try to get a new phone. You know? And some people, it's every year. But, and I think the more rich ones, but whatever, it's just... It's ridiculous. No, it's just why you make something, it works.
Same with the cars.
Yeah, same with the cars. Before it was, I mean, all the cars that we had were all, you know, from way back. You know, they were all vintage because they were such good cars. And you'll see is that, I think, from maybe early 60s back, those cars you'll still see around and on the road.
Yeah,
after that, you don't see cars.
Even some of the 70s are all right.
Yeah, a few.
Because basically, before they put computers and sensors in, when it was just like the mechanical diagnosis and fix it, as opposed to a thing telling you that something is wrong, and then you have to replace the thing because the thing goes bad, it's telling you that something's wrong, it's not actually wrong. And then that ends up costing more than fixing the original thing. So basically, you used to be able to go to a junkyard, get the part that you need, put it on yourself, you know, without any special tools.
Right.
And then your car is good for another, you know, until something else comes, and then you go to junkyard. Now, you can't do that, because there's so many electronic parts and sensors and, you know, that go bad.
The thing is when you go to the junkyard, then you find the part, but the junkyard loses the part.
Right.
So, now they sell you a junkyard.
Yeah.
And so then it doesn't have the parts. Yeah, so it's just economics. So this is when vices get too powerful. They will make everybody's life miserable as long as they're making more money.
Yeah.
So they don't care about tradition. They don't care about anything social. As long as they make more money, they couldn't care less. Yeah.
And then it's unfortunate because at least they value protection they were getting from the Kshatriyas, but since they don't really have them anymore, they just pay a bunch of Shudras to become, you know, semi-adept at protecting. So they have these big armies of mostly unqualified people.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, one Kshatriya would have been better than, you know,
the whole
army of these Shudras would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, because it would be people can't do. Yes. Which control? Okay, yes, sir. Maybe could, do you mind, can this go down one notch?
Yeah, sure.
Because somehow or another it's at 2, it doesn't make any noise.
Right.
But at 3 it makes noise, and I can't really hear what anybody says. Let's see if I can get it. Because they're known as quiet fans, but only up to 2.
Right.
Once they hit 3, then...
Because the air chops, so it gives you that frequency.
Yeah, I'm sure it's at 3 quieter than other fans are at 3.
So the motor's quiet, but the chopping of the air makes...
Yeah, but like this, is otherwise I never hear what's being said because of the fans.
Because
of my movies? No, it's more as I can't, because, I mean... You stay here long enough in India, you hear some weird English, and so the English isn't actually the problem.
So, who's out there?
I got recently one message from my friend in Russia, and she sent me audio message of one senior devotee, authority of Russian ISKCON. And it was one case when Russia started mobilization to the war. Devotees, one ashram in Moscow, they this ashram completely escaped from Russia to Kazakhstan and to Uzbekistan because they didn't want to fight. And this devotee commented this point. He said that you all are neophytes because who said you that you should do Harinamas? Lord Chaitanya wants you to fight for him in Ukraine because you need to protect your country, your duties.
Yeah,
and
he
said these things, and he said also, who won't now attack us?
Us, yes, means us. The Russia. Yes, okay.
And you need to protect our country because in our country you start,
the New World Order.
Yes, World of Lord Chaitanya. And I was so shocked because I understood that people, even devotees, completely convinced that the whole world attacked them.
I mean, even when the war started here, the Ukrainians and the Russians, they wouldn't talk to each other. You know, when it first started, it just did. They just, you know, they identify so strongly. I didn't realize it was a general thing, because I know, like in America, it's one of those things that, especially if it's, means you don't mind goofing on America as an America, but at the same time, as if others goof on it, unless it's done lightly, it can be a problem. But I'm safe. If they're really inimical and you Americans like this, it's kind of like, what? You know, so, but, you know, that'll annoy you. But otherwise, they're a little bit light about that. So then I always consider that everybody must look at the national prestige like that. Then you find out that not everybody does. They really take it seriously.
It was so amazing that to listen that they really consider that Lord Chaitanya doesn't want to go to Harinamas and to Sankirtan, and he won't go to fight with
nothing. Yeah, I mean, it would be hard to find the Shastric evidence for that. But is this person who's saying it, is he going to the front?
He said, I tried, but I wasn't taken there.
Why? Because he's 73 years old, so they wouldn't take him?
How old is he?
I'm not sure. Maybe 40.
They take 40s.
No, 55.
55 is the
upper limit. So he can go.
Yeah. He can do anything. He's, maybe they won't take you on the front lines. They'll put you in a desk somewhere. Or, you know.
But it's not only one person who says this. Many people say this. Yeah. In Russian, yeah.
To, I say, serve Mother Russia.
Demonstrate power of social media and Minister of Information.
Yeah.
Goebbels.
Yeah.
Propaganda.
Goebbels, he said. How do you say his name?
Goebbels.
Goebbels. Oh, okay.
The Nazi propaganda minister, that he said that if you repeat one line 100 times, it comes true.
Truth. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Social media these days, you could do that in a moment.
Yeah, it just suddenly just becomes the constant thing. Yeah, it's amazing. So,
just gets amplified.
But it's the modes of nature are just there. They're always there. Maybe slightly different how it's affected. But it's the same principle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like whether you put it in your mouth or like an amoeba, they just wrap around it, you know, and then absorb it. You know, it's like, kind of like babies are like that, right? Because when they eat, a little bit goes in the mouth. That's just for the taste. The taste is what goes in the mouth. But what runs down, what's all the rest of your face, and runs down. I mean, I remember comedian describing that actually is the main thing is that they eat, it dribbles down the front and it gets sucked into their navel. That's actually how they maintain themselves. Yeah, and then or just osmosis, it goes through the skin because very little goes in their mouth, right? Okay, we seem to have gone on a really good wide tangent this time. You know, covered it. It's like you go down, you start at the you start at the essential point. And then you can go back to the supporting, the secondary. Then when you go to tertiary, you can go as far as you want. You know, but if you start at that end, it'll just, it won't get to there, this side, but, you know. And you can't see the way back.
The main point that why they should fight with the American culture, because they don't want to allow to Russian people to become like
LGBTQ.
Okay, but do they, how do I say, LGBTQIA+. IA+, okay, IA+.
But when I stand 2 years ago, he joined to one program started by Putin, it was a program for children, how to make movies.
Oh, okay, how to make movies.
And when he started to study in this Russian program, The first task was that they should make a film. Children should make one film together.
Okay.
And he was very shocked because first idea which came to the children was about to make film about love between woman teacher and girl in the class.
And how woman and?
Woman teacher and student girl.
Student girl. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
I thought her dog.
When he started to say it, not normally, everything else, they just started to. They said to him, you are very, how to say it?
Fanatic.
And he learned this. I mean, the children in Russia are very dedicated to this idea, and when I spoke with the children in Russian school also, I told many times it's okay, it's very nice, that's why I don't know how they want to fight with America.
Yeah, well, it also is, even if you want to take, they want to fight with America, but they have to remember is that, was it LGBTQIA+, that they also go to McDonald's, they also go to Starbucks, they also wear jeans, you know, Nike shoes, all these things like that. So if they want to get rid of all that, they're not going to go back to their own culture, you know, what it was before, you know. In other words, if they go back to what was, I mean, ideally they go back to, you know, when they still had the Tsar, right? Because then at least they had some culture. You know, but otherwise, if they don't, then they have to go what was, you know, the was it Glasnost? Because after that, the capitalism comes in, and then, you know, where's the, that's all, you know, that American culture, is this the economic thing. So they're happy to keep that, but just get rid of the Americans. So like the English, I mean, the Indians. They wanted independence. I mean, Swaraj was for kicking out the British because they were messing with India's culture. But 100 years later, when they finally got it, they kicked out the British, kept the British culture. It's all, as Prabhu was mentioning, it's just a matter of power and it's just what they want. Because it's not really down to, well, they'll say the culture, the Russian culture. What's Russian culture? I mean, what's specifically Russia? That you can say is, now this is the real Russian culture. Can you say it's borscht? Right? They all eat borscht, right? But if you check, it's actually from Ukraine. Yeah, where's Shmitana from? That's probably from the Middle East.
About vodka.
You know? Well, vodka, I mean, it's mentioned in Manu about distilling grains. Because you have distilling fruits, distilling sugar, and distilling grains. So they're already there. They're originally from there. You know. So then they just figured out, you know, basically vodka should be from grains, but if you don't have grains, you can use potatoes, from what I understand. But I don't know. It's not my specialty.
Grapes.
Grapes, vodka's from grapes. Okay, so then it's for fruit.
You can make it from grapes.
Oh, you can make it from basically just anything. He said, you know, how you say, everything goes into the pot, you know. Cat dye, toss it in.
If it rots, put it in there.
Put it in there. No. Like that. An old shoe, yeah, give it that deep flavor, you know, like that. So, What is theirs?
Yeah. It is their claim that they are the third Rome.
The third Rome. Yes. Oh, that's why they had the Tsar. The third Rome.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Where was the first?
The first is Rome. The second is Constantinople.
Oh.
And the third is Moscow. Or Russia in general, because it is the capital of the Eastern Orthodox religion, which is the real Christianity, the Catholics, of course, both, and everybody else.
But is it Constantinople the center?
Yeah, it used to be the second.
Oh, so then they're saying for up north, then they're the center.
Yeah, but because, you know, Rome got sacked.
Oh, I see. And then it went to there.
Got sacked by the Turks.
There's a thing about sack, right? Thing about sack. You said you got sacked. So this thing with sack, because the hermeneutics is all goes back to the sack.
Oh, yeah, I didn't make that other connection.
Okay, so they're the third Rome. But did they check with the French about that, if they would agree on that? Because I think Napoleon would have thought he was the...
Yeah.
That, yeah. And definitely the Germans always think that the Third Reich was.
Yeah, everybody has this messiah... Yeah. Idea there, the chosen people.
Yeah, yeah. Nation. Yeah, and then there's Neo, you know, so then, he's just, it's...
Yeah, he was clearly the chosen one.
Yeah. I'm not sure how it worked out in the end, but... That one of the interesting lines was when the Oracle then says to... whoever's the boss, the chairman, or I don't know who it is, who's the computer. He says, you made this agreement with the humans, are you going to keep that? You know, you're not going to, cheat them? He says, what do you think? I'm not human. Why would I make those? Why would I cheat? I'm a computer. You know, you're doing this, you do that. You know, so it was very interesting how he threw it the other way, So... Okay, the third Rome. Okay, so therefore then, just as Rome was the center, then Constantinople in the Eastern, empire, and then it moved to Rome. So then if they take over, so what about China and then being the Middle Kingdom? Because the middle means you're in the center and everything else is out from you. I'm not sure if they agree with that.
Well, did you see it as the hub where the... values are being upholded.
Moscow, they're upheld.
Traditional values.
Is it Moscow it's more upheld? Does it mean there's more saunas and more vodka than anywhere else in Russia? Or?
Because firstly, Christian Church was established by Apostle Peter. He was the founder, yes.
He's the rock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. And at the middle of 11th century, in 1054th years, it was
the schism.
Yeah.
It was schism, yes.
Tenfold.
At that time, five Eastern churches, they united in one, and they told that in Constantinople will be place of the meeting.
Okay.
And it was a main place, but then when the Turkish came there, maybe 1 or 200 years, at that time Russia, they accepted Christianity.
Okay.
And they told that now Constantinople was conquered, we will run with Christian world.
But I always thought that when the East Orthodox GBC meet, because one priest was telling me, East Orthodox, we went to tell me, he was saying that because somehow that came up, they say they have 6-10 patriarchs, and then they all meet together once a year or sometime, like our GBC, and then they make all the decisions and all that. But he said that they met in Constantinople.
Only five
churches. Oh, but he was saying that now they even meet there.
No, they now also meet with each other.
Oh, maybe it's one is for spiritual things and the other is for administrative or something? Or
especially in these countries, the communist countries, because these happen to be the Orthodox countries. The church was a long time ago just overrun by KGB. So maybe 80% of the priests are KGB agents.
Oh, okay, so like in China, all the Buddhists are actually government officials. The monks, and if you go to a temple in China and you see all the monks sitting around, they're all actually government agents. So many of them. Yeah.
So it's the same.
Yes, now there's Peter for Russian Christian Church also. It was from main controller department in Soviet Union.
Well, yeah.
No, three letters. We said
KGB. Oh, FSB.
KGB. Let's face the new.
Yes, sir. This is the new.
Oh, there's newer than S. That means FSB is the new KGB. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's KGB, but they changed the name.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so somebody calls. Old one and borrowed. Okay. So. Herein, the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life, or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varnashram Dharma, is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13 purport. So, highest aim of life is the highest, it means highest aim of life, Krishna consciousness, and the highest perfection of the institution of Krishna, the Varnashram Dharma, is you're going to cooperate together in Krishna consciousness. Mm. So Prabhupada said about the society, if we cooperate together, then that will show our affection for them. You know? Just like we cooperate. So Varnashram is how everybody can cooperate together, because you need structure. If everybody's just an individual, like they don't, like let's say on Tapaloka, everyone's an individual, they do their own sadhana, there's no attachments, they come together now and again for sangha. And that you don't need a manager to run the place, right? Because there's no, it's just.
And they're not attached to it.
Yeah, they're not attached. They have their place, and that's it. Hari Bol. You know, they don't need anything. So it works. But when you're organizing so many people, you have to have some system that can come together. So that means the institutional aspects indicates that there's going to be the Varnashram thing, and it's always going to be there. You know, even if you do the strategic planning, the strategic aspect is the Brahminical, the operational is going to be the Kshatriya, the tactical is going to be the Vaishya, and the technical is going to be the Shudra. But it doesn't mean that that has to be who's in those places. It just means even as an organization, it has to have those areas. And then who's qualified and to do those things, they take up those aspects. Because even, let's say, in the temple, you know, it's the operational, it's the Kshatriya thing, but it's for preaching, it's an educational institution like that. So it has that Brahminical aspect. And then as a department of that, or the tactical, you're going to have the deity department, or the book distribution, or, you know, prasad distribution. So there's all Brahminical activities. But because they have to function, they have to work under the temple president, who has to work under the GPC. You know, does that make sense? So it always has these structures. However you put it together, you can't get away from this. Krishna's creation. But the point is therefore the highest perfection of the institution of the Varnashram is than to cooperate jointly for satisfaction of the Lord. Means, in other words, the highest purpose of is in the aim of life is I do everything for Krishna, and then I'm going to cooperate with others to do everything for Krishna. Right? So the Bhagavat on my own, that will work. But to cooperate with others, then the Varnashram makes things cooperate together. Does that make sense?
So,
that is
a group of Vajranandis
who are... Yes. Exactly. That's the whole point. It's that Gosthiyanandi is a group of Vajranandis that work together to preach. So that's the point. Varnashram is that method. And to try to something else, they can go on talking. They've been talking about it since the mid-80s. How they're going to structure it, how they're going to make it. So that's quite a long time, right? Mm. You know, nearly 40 years. You know, since they tried to do something different. And, you know, still nothing will work. You know, it's just like the material world, you say you're going to enjoy. They've been talking about it. I mean, if it's so good, why is it somebody since the time of the Greeks? Greeks were good. They were really into sense gratification. You know, and any of these modern things, they didn't care about them. You know, I mean, having the third gender was part of their culture. Like that. It wasn't a problem. And so why didn't they figure it out? Why isn't that there's the Bible of you know, sense gratification and enjoyment and power and money and that? You know, everyone would have figured it out. Everyone would be rich. Everyone would be enjoying themselves. Right? But no one's figured it out. So if they haven't figured out in 3,000 years, how do we think we're going to figure out the same material thing, you know, ourselves? Well, yeah, you could say that means, but if you look at the actual, you know, as Gita says, when you have the reflection, the tree is upside down, and we'll take it going towards the leaves and fruits and flowers is more advanced, so that means going farther down. Yes, so yes, I would agree with that. We're more advanced. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah.